The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome, everybody. It's time for another Need to Know here on TKR. Kip Kiefer in my usual spot at this time on Monday mornings where we put together this week's program. And since last Monday, Fast and Furious, there's never... You know, as much as going on in the world and domestically, you think you've just got it loaded for bear each Monday, telling you everything you need to know. And if you're new to the show, and let me apologize in advance to those of you who listen every week, because you've heard this a million times. The whole idea of Need to Know is not me telling you what to think. I like to give you things to think about. I try to look at issues a little bit differently from my own perspective. I do a lot of reading, a lot of research, because I want my opinions to be my own. I get accused of being a shill for the Republican Party, which is ridiculous. I have no party affiliation. I think the overwhelming majority of politicians are full of you-know-what. And in action to serve their own interests, it's and I say it all the time, it's no longer public service. It's more or less self-service in this day and age. And that's too bad, because if they're catering to their own personal needs and bowing to the various lords that are providing them riches and opportunity, then they're not doing what they're supposed to do, which is protect your interests, my interest, and the overwhelming charge of their responsibilities, which is to provide the best for their constituents wherever they happen to be representing. So that's kind of the premise. With that being said, I've got a couple of takes on some unusual things that are going on. Had a very active week of broadcasting this past week. In fact, yesterday, Sunday, was the first break I'd had after six consecutive days on about eight different programs during the week. And I'm not complaining. I'm just talking to the proprietor and grand poobah of this great network in advance of recording this week's show, Tony Curry. And he said, well, you love when you're busy. And he hit it right on the nail. I do like that. But I'm really feeling pretty good about, my performances last week, because I have about an equal split between news, politics, current events. And I always try to call in a lot of my expertise on American history to kind of support my argument that things are cyclical. And if it amazes me that we live in an era where even some of my own sons, who are, carbon copies of me in so many ways, neither have a real interest in history. And it's something I can watch a historical documentary 24 hours a day on all kinds of different things, because I find it fascinating. Because to understand where we are, you have to understand where we came from and how we've gotten to this point. And so if anybody says, well, I don't really know much about history, they interview men on the street who can't even tell you who we fought in the Revolutionary War, or basically, I had somebody that's got a fair degree of intelligence, pretty sophisticated. The other day I was talking about some constitutional things. The Constitutional Congress, of course, after winning independence from Britain, was in the late 1800s. A lot of people don't realize that. We just had America's 249th birthday, because America was born on July 4th, 1776, actually July 2nd, 1776, but it wasn't until the 4th, because it took Thomas Jefferson, who literally drafted the Declaration of Independence with a quill pen and dipping it into the ink. It took him 2 days to write the document up. And I was telling an amusing story about the Constitutional Congress, where a guy named Peyton, and I got to think of his last name here. But anyway, the original president of the Continental Congress was called back home to Virginia on urgent business, and that allowed another guy to take that spot. A guy you've probably heard of, John Hancock. So the old line of put your John Hancock on this document or check or whatever you're writing comes from that Continental Congress, where Hancock was the first guy as president of that Continental session, that congressional session, which at that time, of course, America wasn't a country until he signed that document. That was the day we declared our independence. But a lot of folks don't realize that by the time the British got here to contest the American independence, that took them at sea months to even get on the landscape. So the Revolutionary War didn't crank up for in full force for a couple years, actually, and wasn't all settled by until 1882 or 83. And then the first ever Continental Congress getting together to consider the Constitution, that didn't happen until 1886 and wasn't finalized till 1887. So the country, yes, started in 1776, but it was 11 more years before we actually had a document that defined the place. And that document, the United States Constitution, of course, still the lifeblood of everything we've got going on. And that's sort of at the precipice of what I want to talk about today, because I think we're witnessing something very revealing, and it's a theme that I've talked about a lot on our program, and that is, of course, the anti-Trump sentiment in the Democrat Party and amongst a lot of the people who still rely on what's being called now the legacy network. It used to be called the mainstream network. But, you know, basically the sources of news that used to be credible, like the New York Times and the Washington Post, which always has been left-leaning and basically strongholds of a philosophy that's left of center. But now they've drifted far to the left along with the Democrat Party, as has the conventional, quote, conventional networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, and of course you've got the cable outlets of MSNBC and CNN, MSNBC just being a little more radical offshoot of the mother network of NBC, but basically they're all one big happy family. And CNN, which also is completely off the rails with Trump derangement. And the Trump derangement is so profound that, you know, anything Donald Trump is for, they're against. It doesn't matter. He said it in front of the congressional gathering for the State of the Union address this year, when all the Democrats are on one side of the House chamber, all the senators are on the other side from the Republican Party. He looked directly at the Democrats, many holding up signs, several chanting and saying things, which is so disrespectful. This is the president coming before Congress to lay out his agenda and give his opinion of the State of the Union. It's a very important part of the annual schedule for Congress and the president to try to get on the same page. And for decades in our country, that has been a very respectful, formal occasion. For the Democrats to turn it into a anti-Trump pep rally was disgraceful. But Trump looked them right in the eye, because he does not look away very much, and said, you know, if I stood up here today and said we've been working at the White House on a cure for cancer, we've had a breakthrough, we're going to eradicate cancer forever, you would not put down your signs, you would not change your expression, you would not uncross your arms, and you certainly wouldn't even applaud. So basically, I understand that going in, no matter what I say, no matter who I introduce, no matter what policies I put forth, you're going to stay there stone faced. Many of you holding up your signs, which is ridiculously divisive and disrespectful in this formal occasion. And he makes a good point, because the Democrats are a rudderless ship right now. They're being controlled by the far left wing of their party, a progressive agenda that wants to basically completely rebuild the country. And to rebuild something, you've got to tear what is in place down first. And that is what the point they're at. They want to completely rip America down by its foundations and reinvent this country that many of the people on the far left will tell you is evil and discriminatory and unfair and inequitable and all those things, completely ignoring the fact that America has been the greatest force for good. Is the American story perfect, going all the way back to when all the people coming from various points of the world, predominantly Europe, in the 1600s, when they first arrived here, and the time how things evolved? Absolutely not. This is human civilization. You can look at every single major human civilization in the recorded history of the world. There were always conflicts. There were always mistakes and miscalculations and bad judgments made. But it's just the evolution of humankind. America has certainly made its mistakes, a lot of shameful things with the indigenous people that we found on this continent. Certainly the undeniable stain that was slavery in the United States for the first 75 or 80 years of its existence. Absolutely disgraceful, despicable. But the bottom line is, it's still the greatest country in the world. It's still the land of opportunity. It's still the home of the American dream. And these people want to transform it into something completely different that it was founded upon. Because at the end of the day, even if you don't like a lot of the history of the United States, the principles that it was founded on are still pure and still the goal for most dedicated Americans, the overwhelming majority of dedicated Americans. To be, and I say it almost every show, the founders of this country envisioned this being a biblical passage, the shining city on the hill to which all eyes are cast upon. And America is the greatest doer of good around the world. America would be, the world would be in a terrible position if America is not strong and interactive and really, keeping all the bad actors on the planet in check. I'm proud to be an American. I don't like some of the heritage and different things that were done, but again, society and humankind are imperfect. The desire to expand and move forward and get this country up and running led to some irresponsible decision making, but at the end of the day, this is still the greatest country ever founded, with the greatest concepts ever conceived. And that's what I stand on each and every broadcast. So I wanted to, that's a long preface, which I'm famous for. I burn up a lot of my time just setting the stage, but I want to talk about this guy in New York, Zohar. I always got to be careful on the name. Mamdani, Mamdanni is the guy's name. He is a 33-year-old politician now. Didn't start off as a politician. He's been a rapper and I don't know. He came from a privileged background, parents with money. I think he's... his origins, because he's changed it several times to serve himself, at one point identifying himself as an African, which is not right. He's actually from a part of Asia. And Mamdani is the Democrat nominee for mayor of the largest city in America, New York. He defeated not Mario Cuomo. That was the father. He defeated Cuomo, who's the former governor of New York, in the primary, which shocked a lot of people because in the early days of the polling for the Democrat nomination, Mamdani was only polling at about 1 or 2% support. But this is the first ever TikTok candidate. This is a candidate who has unabashedly vowed to want to convert New York City to start, and hopefully on the larger stage, America, into a socialist country. He says the country's unfair. He says the country's inequitable. He says that the reality of people being in less financially advantageous positions is immoral. If you ask him straight up, does he believe in capitalism? He says absolutely not. It's evil, it discriminates, and it's inequality. And inequality is his biggest issue. So, you know, all that sounds great on paper, like it has in every single country throughout the beginnings of time that has tried to base a society on the principle of socialism, which is a large controlling central government that basically confiscates everything, gathers in all the wealth from all the people, not only the rich, but also the impoverished. Don't buy the false banana that people that are destitute just get nothing but free stuff, and it's all this kumbaya. Everybody's at the same status. First of all, the people in charge live at a far higher standard than everybody else because they're in control. And the Democrat Party's complete freak out over Donald Trump is about power and control. Maintaining power and control means you continue to have the flow of money being just never ending. And that's what it comes down to. It's power and control to, you know, generate as much wealth as you can possibly acquire, and the people perpetrating that is exactly what their goal is. So, Mamdani, I point all this out, some of his policy. He wants to eliminate police in New York City, completely eliminate. The police will be totally defunded and replaced with social workers. So if you've got a guy on the subway and he's already stabbed a couple people, maybe pushed one or two people off the platform into an oncoming subway car, holding people hostage in a subway in New York City, which we've seen, you can't call the police to deal with it under the Mamdani potential situation administration. You're going to call a social worker to come and work all that out. How good a plan is that? I don't think very good. He also wants to just completely change the principle of private housing. He wants New York City to confiscate a lot of the housing and condominiums and high-rise apartment buildings and hotels, any place where people that are destitute can get highly affordable, low rent housing and even free housing, because he believes it's everybody's right to be able to have a roof over their head and be comfortable. I agree that it's certainly the desire. I don't want people living on the street and being homeless. I don't want people to have to live in shelters and in terrible circumstances, but again, you cannot seize property from people that own places. Again, it's the evils of capitalism that he's espousing. And he's talking about all these great concepts on TikTok. He's the first candidate to really ever run exclusively, trying to convince people that his vision is the way to go, that our society is unfair. And he's had a lot of people buy in, particularly in two demographic areas. One, young people who are coming out of education systems that don't teach them anything about world history. They don't know socialism from capitalism, from authoritarianism. They've never learned. Civics has been completely de-emphasized, forms of government, and the history of how those governments have operated. If they had any knowledge, they would know that any socialist presentation, no matter how great it sounds, because you're going to get free stuff and everybody's going to be equal, and he's going to pay for it by taxing the rich, taking all of the wealth away. He says there should be no such thing as a billionaire. He says anybody making, I can't remember the figure, but right around $1 million or worth $1 million should be paying 75 or 80% of that money to take care of everybody else. And it just doesn't work. It's never worked in any country. The government and people in control remain in a lavish situation where they're above all of their own rules and everybody else in the society has to suffer because they're all paying to supplement. Any producer is out there earning a living, and they're expected to cough up the overwhelming majority of their wealth to take care of everybody else who's not producing anything. It just doesn't work. And what it graduates into after all of this talk, it's happened in Russia, it's happened in China in the previous century. There were overthrows of conventional governments who in many cases were corrupt and needed to be overhauled, but not by these systems, because these socialist transitions immediately turn into dictatorships where the stranglehold on power by one individual or one group of people that are in charge of the government starts to abuse their own citizens to the point of mass deaths. Over 1 million people in Russia and China, in both cases, in China's case, tens of millions, once the Mao Zedong government took over and seized all production, all manufactured goods, all farmland, all these people, their livelihoods and their food sources confiscated by government to distribute to the masses. People in China starved, literally starved to death. In Russia under Joseph Stalin, there were mass executions. Everybody that they thought was a threat to their power were lined up basically and shot. And the ones who escaped that fate were shipped off to these godforsaken places. The ones you've always heard about, the coldest places on earth, Siberia and other examples, into basically these detention places where they lived in such misery, no food, no warmth. Many of them died of exposure and starvation. Many were executed in both those countries. Socialism always graduates to the next level. Authoritarianism, totalitarianism, dictatorship. So the point I want to make is, Mamdani being the candidate, you don't hear any Democrats saying, oh gosh, this guy is a threat to democracy. This guy and this direction and he's the Democrat nominee. If the Democrat Party continues to embrace this leftist view, that's the biggest threat to democracy ever. And yet, how many times do you still hear it in every statement about Donald Trump? He's a threat to democracy. He's going to be a dictator. He's never going to allow another election. they may have these kind of ridiculous imitations of elections in this in these countries, but Vladimir Putin has been in charge for decades in Russia since the Berlin Wall was torn down. They have elections, but they're a joke. They're completely rigged. Same thing in China, same thing in Venezuela, same thing in countries all over the world that have these socialist communist systems. So threat to democracy, is it Mondami and his philosophies, or is it Donald Trump? It's not even comparable. They say Trump's presidency is a constitutional crisis, but you don't hear any Democrats. They don't dare call this guy out, this rising star who is the darling of the left wing of their party. They're scared to death to break ranks because, I mean, it's going to hurt their party overall, but this guy's presence, they would be a lot smarter to say, you know, we've been worried about threats to democracy and constitutional crises. This guy is the ultimate example of that. Not to mention, they have called Trump Hitler. They have called ICE, the in immigration customs enforcement agents who are deporting criminal aliens out of this country. They have called them the Gestapo. The comparisons to Nazi Germany of Donald Trump to Hitler and the Trump administration to the Nazi movement. You hear it in every interview, in every criticism, and people buy it because they don't know enough about history to understand that that charge is ridiculous. But look at this guy, Mamdani. This guy says that he is for a global infotama, which means a global elimination first of the Jewish state of Israel and then of all Jews. Who does that sound like? Donald Trump rails about anti-Semitism, has taken the Ivy League schools to task because Jewish students are being abused and not able to get an education that they deserve because all these foreigners in all of these Ivy League schools who they want to have in the mix, sometimes some as high as 35% at Harvard are from other countries, many of them countries that, again, are highly left-wing and radical. So you've got all these anti-Israel sentiment, all this campus protests, and all the terroristic threats against Israelis and Jews all over the world. This guy is endorsing the global elimination of anything Jewish, the Jewish state and the Jewish people. I think that sounds a lot more like Hitler than Donald Trump. And yet there's no condemnation of this guy from any Democrat, except for Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman, who I think everybody realizes ran after having a stroke and won the Senate seat from Pennsylvania. He is very forthcoming in his comments, always seemingly weighing in on the right side of issues, breaking ranks. He's the only Democrat that breaks ranks verbally, but I'm not going to take Fetterman seriously until he starts voting like he's speaking, because so far in his Senate career, Fetterman has not strayed off the reservation one time. He has voted along with every Democrat solidly on every issue until he starts backing up his rhetoric with his votes and not just being another automatic yes or no vote, depending on what he's told to do. I'm not going to take John Fetterman seriously. So all of these crazy ideas, this guy, an avowed socialist, proud to admit it, not shy about saying what he wants to do. He wants to seize private housing. He wants to eliminate Jews from the world. He wants to get rid of police. No more law and order. Folks, this guy sure sounds like what they're describing Trump is, and yet no one is calling any attention to the fact that this guy wants to not only rip at the fabric of America, this guy wants to tear it down completely and take it in a whole different direction that we weren't founded on, that our Constitution doesn't support in any way, shape, or form. This guy is a complete terrorizer, for lack of a better term, of the American way and the American system. And yet, the Democrats, the conventional Democrats, like Chuck Schumer in the Senate, like Hakeem Jeffries, the minority leader of the House, politicians, Democrat politicians all over the country, they don't want to say a discouraging word about this guy in fear of alienating the left wing of their party, which they have to have any chance in elections. But I think the American people, with their votes on November 5th of last year, were very strong in their weighing in of, we don't want the country to go in this leftist, progressive, social direction, socialist direction. That's not what our country was founded on. That's not who we are. I don't want my individual liberties, my rights, my freedoms, my choices on how to conduct my life and preside over my family and all the people that I work with and care about. I don't want to be a ward of the state and be told where I could go, what I can do, what I can drive, what appliances I can have in my house, and what I can say. That's the other thing. Freedom of speech and all of those individual rights are our most sacred. Freedom of religion. All of those things are the sacred covenants that our country has pledged for all of its citizens. And I emphasize the word citizens. All of these illegals in our country are not citizens. They are intruders. They're not residents. You keep hearing Democrats that the ICE is terrorizing our people. They're not our people. I have nothing against them personally, but if they're not in this country legally and they got their hand out of wanting housing and food and opportunities and education for their children, all that's fine. But we've got to concentrate on our country and our citizens and our American brothers and sisters now. And all of this hysteria, only because Trump's for it, all these Democrats now would rather sell out and be for people, not you and me, Americans, therefore these people that are in our country illegally. And this guy, Mondami, says that they have every right to get every opportunity, like free housing, all of the different sanctuary city nonsense on steroids. So those parallels, I hope you'll think about anytime you see or hear one of these nutcase Democrats saying Trump is a threat to democracy. No, the leading candidate for mayor of New York City, which is the financial capital of the world. This is the most successful, most important economic engine location in the world. And this guy wants to seize complete control of it and turn it into a socialist state, a socialist city to start with, transitioning toward a socialist America, which I just described has been catastrophic historically. They talk about changes to the Medicaid situation is going to cost thousands of lives, which is total BS. But they're not worried about the fact that history tells us that any country that takes that step in a socialist direction is an absolute disaster, bloodbath, killer of millions when it's happened historically. And there's no reason to think that it wouldn't happen again. That's why you got to know history. You got to know where you've been to know where you are now and what to expect next. That's what I had for you today. Food for thought, I hope. If you're a Democrat, let your leaders know that this Mondami needs to be rebuked by all Americans, because if you want to live in a socialist and later Marxist communist country, then keep your mouth quiet and don't say anything. Every American should be up in arms that our largest city is on the verge of falling into the hands of a despot like Mamdani. Thanks for listening. It's Need to Know. We're on we record every Monday. We're on near the first of the week each week. We'll have something completely different. God only knows what's going to happen in the next 7 days, but we'll be here to tell you about it. Again, not telling you what to think, but giving you things to think about. I'm Kip Kiefer. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.